Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. And what we'll do is we'll do a responsive reading tonight. I will read verse number 15, and you respond, please, in verse 16. We'll do just about that, and then we will read verse number 21 together. So Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 21. I'll begin with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Submitting to one another in the fear of God. May God bless the reading of His Word and the study of this later on.
And as was read out by Pastor Jan, we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be following on with a number of other verses that will be up on the screen behind me. So if you don't have time to turn to them, the references will be behind us. But I want to read out 1 John 1:3 to begin with as a welcome and as an introduction. And think of a preacher or think of a minister of God's word reading this out to you. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight in reverence and in holy awe of your word and of your truth. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would take the words of Scripture and make them alive in each heart. Make them real and meet each person at the point of their need. Meet each person and challenge them and equip them and encourage them as only your word and your spirit can do. Thank you, dear Lord, that today we can proclaim your word. We can proclaim that indeed we have fellowship with you, for our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can as a body tonight have fellowship together. Lord, I pray that you bless, Lord, this passage of Scripture and the different parts and components, Lord, and may it indeed refresh our hearts and minds and lives. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, as we've been going through this series in Ephesians, we've been tackling a lot of the walks, the very practical things that make us believers and make us who we are. Because it's more than our head knowledge, it's our knowledge put into practice that reveals the reality of what we believe. It reveals to others who we are, and it reveals by our very life, by our very walk, if we are indeed communing with Christ, if we are indeed following after Christ's likeness. And we've been considering walking in the light for a few sermons. And last time we looked at verse 11 and 12 in this passage, and Ephesians 5 verses 11 and 12 spoke about having no fellowship with darkness. Verse 13 spoke about allowing the light to penetrate our lives. And verse 14 spoke of an awakenedness, a waking up to righteousness. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I want to submit to you tonight that the true church of Jesus Christ can only have, we can only have true fellowship one with another if first our relationship and our walk is truly in the light of Christ. You know, there are many who band together, whether it be under the emblem of Christendom or the emblem of some form of fellowship, and they know not God, they know not Christ. they come together and perhaps they're seeking some good work, some morality, some communion with people, some kind of a group to click with. But the Bible declares in 1 John 1:3 that the only way to have true fellowship one with another is to first have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is a holy fellowship. It's a holy communion. It must be centered on holiness. Look further what John says in 1 John 1 verse 5. In 1 John 1 verse 5 we read these words. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Dearly beloved, I submit to you today that on the face of the earth, under the banner of Christendom, there are many who say they are in the light. There are many who say they have fellowship with God. And I submit to you that they do not know Him. They do not know Him because their lives are in darkness. They lie and they practice the truth. Because the mark of a true believer, the mark of the Church of Christ is this. There must be first a walk in the light as He is in the light. And only then we can have fellowship one with another. And you know, the Holy Spirit can only add His blessing to a meeting, can only add His blessing where the saved and the redeemed people of God are. It's where the saved and the redeemed people of God are. There are many meetings taking place today, many meetings in buildings, and the Spirit of God is not there, is not present. It's as if they're carrying the ark. It's as if they're saying, we're with God. And God is not there. God is not there. His Spirit is not there. Because the lives of the people are in darkness. Because they're walking in hidden sin. They're walking in sin. They lie and they do not practice the truth. There's a greater and stricter condemnation if you know, but you do not practice. And we'll be judged, we'll be held to account on what we know and how we have put into practice what we know. And that's what really the book of Ephesians is. It introduces us to God, it introduces us to His character. And then He puts us on notice and says, therefore be imitators of God. It says, walk in the light. It says, walk in Christ-likeness. It says, exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. It says, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. It says, repent. It says, turn from your sin and keep turning from it. And that's the mark of the true Christian, that they've turned from their sin and they keep turning from it. It's that they love God's word and they love to walk in the light and they keep coming back to the light. And it shows that their deeds are done in truth. And so with that background, with that introduction, we see that God's rich and spiritual blessings are in connection with a meeting like this, or in connection with a meeting in a small group where the people are truly seeking God. The people are truly seeking truth, seeking His Spirit, seeking to be free from darkness. To put off the old man and to put on the new. And there's special blessing in those meetings. Sometimes if it's in smaller meetings, it can be in a meeting like this, it can be in meetings that you've been to, but you know when the Holy Spirit is working in such a special way, because the people have come and they've been sanctified. The Bible says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I will do wonders among you. And that was the word given to Joshua in Joshua 3 verse 5. Where Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priest saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. It's not just about the altar. It's not just about, you know, Israel at times, they did not follow after God. They thought the Ark would save them, but it did not. You know, people come to church, they think the church will save them. The church will not. It's Christ who saves. It's Christ who keeps. And so our fellowship, brothers and sisters, must be first because of a life that is walking in the light. A life of sanctification. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Psalm 24 verse 3. Who may ascend or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. Brother and sister, I submit to you tonight that we must be those who have clean hands, who have a pure heart. It's washed by the blood of the Lamb. It's because we have repented and we are repenting. It's because when sin presses in, when the world presses in, when the flesh presses in, we say no to that and we say yes to Christ. We say yes to His holy word. We say yes to His Spirit who is prodding and directing and challenging us with the word of God. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Brothers and sisters, it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, as we read in 1 John 1, 5 and 7. It is the blood of Jesus, His Son, who cleanses us from all sin. Therefore, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I'll do wonders among you. God can only work in a meeting. God can only work in a special way. In a meeting, if indeed we have cleansed ourselves, if we indeed have said, Lord Jesus, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, if we keep short and strict accounts with God, then and only then there can be a spiritual blessing in the connection of a meeting like this. It's not just the time around a table. And that is a precious time and we ought to do it. And we ought to search our hearts because the scripture teaches us to do so. It's not just each Sunday as we come as we meet or each Wednesday, but it ought to be our life. It ought to be our fellowship with Christ. It ought to be our daily living and we will see special blessing. We will see special blessing in our own lives. We will see special blessing in the lives of others. We'll see special blessing. He will use us. He will use us. We will be fruitful for God. And it's such a vital thing for us. Way of introduction tonight. It's such a vital thing for us to come to the meeting of God, to come prepared and sanctified. Not just the ministers of the word, not just the singers and musicians, but all of us. That we would come prepared, for God can do a wonderful thing in our midst if we come in a prepared way. Sanctify. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow I will do wonders among you. It's such a vital need today for us as beloved, as brethren, to walk closely together in fellowship. And even more as we see the day approaching. And we'll touch on that in just a moment. But I want to read out again the verses we had. That was really by way of introduction to tonight's message and a connection from the message before. Brothers and sisters, we must be prepared. We must be holy in heart. We must be taking the word of God seriously. And then as we meet together, God will bless our meetings. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Tonight, beloved, I want to speak on instructions for holy fellowship. Instructions for holy fellowship. And the first instruction for holy fellowship there in verse 15 is this: do not walk with or do not walk as the fool. And here Matthew Henry comments and says, walk circumspectly, or as the word signifies, walk accurately, walk exactly, walk in the right way, in order to which we must be frequently consulting our rule and the directions we have in the sacred oracles, the sacred scriptures. Circumspect walking is the effect of true wisdom, but the contrary is the effect of folly. Do not walk with or as a fool. And we come here to the meeting of God's people. We come here, trust, sanctified and prepared. Sanctified in heart, walking with clean hands and a pure heart. And God will bless the connection of that sanctification with the meeting of his saints. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. Yet fools despise wisdom and instruction. We do not come for folly. We do not come for talking. But the circumspect walking, the accurate walking, is the effect of true wisdom. The contrary is the effect of folly. And so Proverbs 13:20 reminds us, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. We come to this place not for foolishness. We come as not for folly, but we come because we want wisdom. And he who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools we see here will be destroyed. It's so important to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? So this first instruction for holy fellowship is that we do not walk with the wise, in such we walk with the wise, but not with the fool, in such a way that they drag us down. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And in effect, the fool is saying, there is no God. There is no law to keep. But we know as God's people, by the Spirit of God and by the power of God, there is a law to keep. There is a way in which we should walk, and it's a holy way. And by virtue of us walking in a holy way, by preparing ourselves, there will be an overflow blessing into the meeting of God's people. Do not be unequally yoked. In our personal life and in our walk before God, we are to, by careful extension to that, walk in such a way that we are walking before God in fellowship with one another. It's our personal life and an extension to that, that we can walk in fellowship one with another. In the body of Christ, we are among those who fear the Lord. And the more time we are in fellowship with God's people, the more time we spend with God's people, whether it's in this group on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, or at other times, whether it's in your workplace with one believer you might find, whether it's in your school with one Christian you might come alongside. It's so important to be alongside those who are wise. It's so important to be alongside those who glorify and who fear the Lord, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But amongst believers, we see here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so the Holy Spirit has put this passage correctly in the frame of this chapter. In Ephesians 5:15, that you would walk circumspectly and not as the fool. And to walk circumspectly is to then redeem the time. And the second instruction for holy fellowship is there in verse 16. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. The fool is no God. The fool is living as if there is no tomorrow, as if there is no eternity. But beloved, we know, by God's grace, we know we are to redeem the time. To redeem the time is to use your time wisely. And there is no better use of your time and my time than to be with God's people, to be in God's house, to be about the King's business in your ministry. And Hebrews 10:25 exhorts us not to neglect to meet together, but to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25, to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I think of that day, the day drawing near. Our Lord's return is nearer today than when we first believed. We see the sign of the end of times all around us, and we should indeed encourage one another, for the time is short. And what matters for eternity is what we did for God on earth. How we loved his word, how we loved his people. How we came together and met, even more so as we see the day drawing near. And I tremble at the words of 2 Peter 3 that speak of the world there before that existed, that perished, being flooded with water. Today, the scripture teaches us that scoffers will come in the last day saying, where is the promise of his return? You know, you've been talking about it for 2,000 years. Where is the return of Christ? But we know here by the power of the word of God and by scripture that the world then which existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens, verse 7, and the earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. In the breadth and in the span of God's time and in eternity, God sees the end from the beginning. And beloved, his word exhorts us and says to us to redeem the time. Redeem the finiteness of our lives, because the days are... So walk circumspectly, walk accurately, not as the fool but as the wise, and redeem the time, because the days are evil. And God's blueprint for meeting up is in his word. God's blueprint for fellowship is in his word. God's blueprint for redeeming the time is in the scriptures. What are we to do, beloved? What are we to do? Even encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. To not neglect to meet together with other believers. Than being with those who will drag you down. Rather than with those who are going a foolish way. Young person, rather than those who are walking as if there is no God. As if there is no law to keep. Beloved, we know this. We know this, that the end is appointed. The end is appointed, and God knows it. The timeless, eternal God knows it. And we see the day drawing near. We are to keep going back to God's blueprint for his church. And I believe that that ought to be the case. We are to eagerly anticipate the day drawing near. And in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There's our blueprint in God's scripture. They devoted themselves. There's a devotion there. A devotion to doctrine and teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread together and to fellowship, to prayer. Acts 2:46 says that day by day they attended the temple together, and they broke bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And we're to devote ourselves to those things. We're to devote ourselves to being together as a church family, to inviting others from the church, to be together with other like-minded Christians. Perhaps it's in your workplace. Perhaps it's in your school, wherever that might be for you, in your community. But be amongst those who are devoting themselves to true teaching, who are devoting themselves to fellowship, who are devoting themselves to breaking of bread, who are devoting themselves to prayer. Be around those. Be around those. Don't be around the fool. Don't be around the one who says there is no God. Redeem the time, dear friends. Our days are short. Seek to be a witness in your community, in your workplace, in your school, amongst extended family, wherever you are walking, as you are going in life. We are commended. We are instructed to, as we are going, to be speaking the word, as we are going to be living the word, to be living examples that the reality of what we know might meet the action of what we do, for what we do. Colossians 4:5 exhorts us to walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time, or redeeming the time. There it is again. Making of the time. We have certainly just a few years, just a vapor, just a hand's breadth on this earth, as Wayne instructed us last week, as he spoke to us, to redeem the time, to walk in wisdom toward outsiders. It's not to say, you know, that we reject outsiders. It's not to say at all that we reject those who are ungodly, even the fool. But be careful. Be careful that we're not unequally yoked. Be careful that we're not spending so much time with those who do not know God, who are dragging God's name through the mire. Rather, we ought to be meeting with God's people, That's God's blueprint. Rather, we ought to be encouraging one another, and even more so as we see the day drawing near. So teach us, Lord, ought to be our prayer. Psalm 90 verse 12. Teach us, Lord, ought to be our prayer, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, dear Lord. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. A further instruction for holy fellowship is in verse 17. And that's to not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Blueprint for meeting with God's people, the blueprint for fellowship is all through God's word, all through his inspired word. And in the third letter of John, 3 John and verses 3 and 5, we read these words, "For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." And I believe that is the starting point for the blueprint of fellowship, is walking in truth. As we've read in those other passages in 1 John, it's walking in truth, the blueprint, as it were, for success for God's church. It's walking in truth. And it is as if this letter, which is inspired by the Spirit of God, God is showing us that he has no greater joy than to see his children, his church, walking in truth. It's no greater joy for a parent to see their child saved. It's no greater joy to see your child walking in truth. And God is saying to us that he has no greater joy than to see us, his children, his church, walking together in truth, in communion, in holiness. That is God's blueprint. That is God's blueprint for his church. Understanding God's will for fellowship. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Consider how our Lord Jesus fellowshiped with others. If we want to consider what God's will is for fellowship, because we're going to come to very practically what God wants us to be doing. He wants us to be meeting. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to be reading to one another. He wants us to be singing to one another and to him. He wants us to be making melody in our hearts. He wants us to be giving thanks and overflowing with thanksgiving and praising God. He wants us to be submitting to one another. Look at all these things, all these actions. And they come because we know God and because we know his blueprint for fellowship. We know his blueprint. What is God's blueprint for fellowship? If we were to take this verse, chapter 5, verse 17, and the word of God says to us, "Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Is it in the context of our lives? Yes, it is. But it's also in the context of the church. It's also in the context of fellowship. And we see our Lord Jesus in the four gospel records. It is very rare to see our Lord Jesus away from people, besides the times, yes, he went alone to pray to the Father. He went and he continued all night in prayer to the Father. And we know during the temptation in the wilderness, he was alone. But it was a rarity. Besides that, he was always with the inner circle, the two. He was always with the disciples, the 12. He was always with the crowds and with his friends. Because our Lord Jesus, he shows us the blueprint for fellowship. He shows us. Yes, he got away from the crowds when the crowds pressed in, but he was always communing. He was always in someone's house. He was always going to where the people were. He was seeking them out and they followed him. Beloved, as Spirit-filled followers of Christ, we here have the blueprint in all of Scripture. We have the blueprint that man is built for fellowship. Man is built for fellowship. Christ came to this earth and showed us how to live, how to be concerned about the things of eternity, how to be consumed with doing the will of the Father, and being consumed with doing the will of the Father. He showed us that man is built for fellowship. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand. We have here the clarity in this passage, in this portion of Scripture, to not be unwise, but to understand what God's will is for His church. And God's will for His church is to be wise and to be walking in, with clarity, circumspectly, and also, brothers and sisters, to be in unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10 teaches us and appeals to us by the name of the Lord Jesus that we are to be in agreement, not be in division. When there's foolishness, when there's folly, there will be division and every other evil work. But when we understand the will and the mind of God for His church, we see that God's will is that we are to be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. In the same mind, having the mind of Christ. 1 Peter 3:8 goes on to say, to have the mind of unity, of sympathy, of brotherly love, of tenderness and of humility. And don't we need that? Because the flesh is contrary to that. The flesh goes against that grain. But the Bible says, have unity of mind, be sympathetic to one another, loving one another, be tender to one another, and be of a humble heart, of a humble heart. Ephesians 4:3 says, we are to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Philippians 2:2 says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. There's a unity there. And Spurgeon comments on this and he says, the reason why you do not see the unity of the church may be because of the present roughness of the material. See yonder a number of stones and here a number of trees. I can't see the unity. Well, of course not. When these trees are all cut into planks and when these stones are all squared off, then you may begin to see them as a whole. The various stones of the divine building of the church are all out of shape at present. They are not polished, and we shall never be one till we are sanctified. The unity of Christ is a unity of holy, not unholy beings. And as we each of us grow more and more prepared by the work of Christ for our own place, we shall discover more and more the unity of the church. I like that description. Talks about the trees and then the planks and then talks about the rough stones and then the stones. And Peter's letter, doesn't it talk about our lives as living stones? We are all built up, a holy church, a spiritual people for good works, prepared for good works. Brother and sister, holiness, it's His blueprint. Humility, tenderness, brotherly love. All these fruits of the Spirit come out. All these fruits of the Spirit come out as God chops away at us. Sometimes He has to do a work of chopping, and sometimes of coarse sanding, sometimes of chipping away. But He always does it with the healing balm that follows. He never leaves His people there open, cut and wounded. Every time He does a work in us, He'll always come with a healing balm. He'll always come with the bandages. He'll always come and He'll bring a healing to our souls, to our bodies. The fourth instruction for holy fellowship, beloved, is this: be filled with the Spirit. And at this time, I'll share a little story. Maybe the children could listen in as well if they haven't been already. But, you know, there was a woodcutter. There was a man who lived in the mountains. And he lived high up in the mountains. He was a woodcutter and a shepherd. If some of you have watched that film, Heidi, that old film, it's a bit like that, a bit like the grandfather who lived up there in the woods. And this man, he lived up there in the woods, in the high mountains. And, you know, he would chop timber and he would tend to his flock, and he would always look after the stream. And you know, in the mountains, there are glaciers and there are streams that come down. And he lived near this stream. And as he lived near this stream, he would always be sure to cleanse the stream. He would always be sure. If an animal died and it fell into the waters, he would always take up that animal and take it out. If there were trees and foliage that would come in and block the passage of that stream, he would clear away those trees and those bushes and that deadwood, and he would clear so that that stream wouldn't be stagnant. And you know, the townspeople, though they didn't see him often, the townspeople were very grateful for this man. This town relied on that source of water. And that man would be very sure to keep that stream cleansed and to keep that water flowing so it wouldn't stagnate. But you know, that man died. And the townsfolk knew, and the townsfolk found out. Because you know, that stream that went into that town, into that village, started to have a sense of smell of stagnation. It started to have a murkiness, a muckiness about it. It wasn't flowing as it should flow. And they found out, they went up to that cabin and they found out the old man had died. And the animals that had now come into the stream and had polluted the stream. The build-up had occurred. It was full of foliage and rubble and things had begun to block that stream. And I submit to you, beloved, today that we need to be so filled with the Spirit, that we need to be so careful about our walk before God, that we need to be picking away. We need to be chipping away. We need to be looking in our hearts. We need to be allowing God to search us and to try us so that the Spirit of God might be flowing through us. We sing channels only, blessed Master. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. God can't use a stagnant, smelling pool of murkiness. God must use his Spirit flowing through us, sanctified, cleansed, a pure stream. And you know, in our lives, we often put up things, and so often it's our unbelief. We put up barriers to God's stream. He wants to flow through us. He wants to work through us. But we let the carnal get in the way. And it says here in verse 18 in our text, Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine in which is excess or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And what God is saying here in this instruction, that there's the carnal choice or the spiritual choice. You want to get happy and drunk, you've got the carnal choice. And people do that, and they're no doubt going to do it tonight when whichever team wins, whoever they're going for. They're going to get carnal tonight, and they're going to get temporary joy. And they're going to choose the carnal because they do not know God. But for the Christian, the Spirit of God is saying this, do not be drunk in wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Choose the Spirit. Choose holiness. Choose God's Word. Be filled with the Spirit, because that will give you a joy that is far greater than a temporary, fleeting moment in which this world offers. And this world offers plenty of them. And so we see here the very carnal man, the carnal man pitted against the Spirit man. But the Spirit-filled Christian is the sober Christian. The sober Christian. Because the devil, he's prowling around. And he's looking for those who are not sober. He's looking for those who have grazed their knees and walked off the path. Dear beloved, happiness and holiness do go together. Happiness and holiness are in the Spirit and in the Word of God, not in the carnal things. And so the Scripture teaches us not to be drunk, not to be filled with excess. It's not just about drink here. There's even more by extension. Do not be filled with anything in which is excess or dissipation, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's where our life lies. That's where the life stream is. That's where the Christian life stream is. That's where the pure fountain, like a spring of holy water, is proceeding from the throne of God. That's where it's pure and crystal, and the Spirit of God can fill you. And Galatians 5:16 says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 encourages us, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And there we have, that was the ESV. But we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is working in us if we are His. Praise God, He will overcome. And so put on the new man, put off the old, be transformed, allow the Holy Spirit to overflow and to flow through you. In conclusion tonight, the verses 19, 20 and 21 bring all of the instructions for holy fellowship together. And they instruct us to speak the word in psalms and encouragement to us. For Christ himself said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's more than the carnal. We need to live by the spiritual word of God. And Romans 10:8 says, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. So this ought to be natural. You see, what is being shown here in fellowship is not something that's forced or contrived. But this is the very overflow and the abundance of a life that's sanctified, of a life that's walking with Christ. These things will overflow. We will speak to one another in psalms and encouragements. More than carnal speaking, more than foolish jesting, more than just talking about the weather, we can go deeper. We can speak out the word. We can speak and encourage and exhort one another as the day is drawing near. The other overflow will be worship, will be worship. We'll speak the word and it will be worshipful in songs and praise. And God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down, the psalmist said. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker. If we know him, if we know and we walk in the truth, true worship will overflow. Furthermore, thankfulness will overflow. It says, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 20. And the psalmist encourages us and says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, Psalm 104. And his courts with praise, give thanks to him and bless his name. And so we come with thanksgiving, we come with adoration, and we bless the name of the Lord. Spurgeon comments and says, every hour, yea, every moment has brought a favor upon its wings. Look downward and give thanks, for you are saved from hell. Look on the right hand and give thanks, for you are enriched with gracious gifts. Look on the left hand and give thanks, for you are shielded from deadly ills. Look above you and give thanks, for heaven awaits you. Hallelujah. Look down and give thanks, you're saved from hell, brother and sister. Look to the right and look at the gracious gifts. Look on the left and look at the deadly ills you are saved from. Give thanks, for God has saved you from. And look above and give thanks for heaven. Heaven awaits. Heaven awaits. Give thanks and always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God. That's hard to do in trials. But you know, sometimes the trials are past us. And when the trials are past, you say, Lord, thank you. Even in that trial, I see how it could have been much worse. I see how it could have been much worse. And you allowed it to go this far, but no more. Thank you, Lord. And so give thanks always and for everything. Because God is good and he makes no mistake. And so the psalmist says this in Psalm 106 verse 1. Praise the Lord and give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. And if you're going through a trial, if you're going through tough times, know this. God is good. Praise him in your trials, as hard as it can be. For his steadfast love endures forever. And don't be anxious about anything, Philippians 4:6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The key there is with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. God is too good. He is too kind. And that will pass you by. That season of difficulty will pass you by. And you will thank the Lord and say, God, you were good in that. You were even good. And lastly, in this encouragement for godly fellowship, in this outflow of holy fellowship, submit to one another in the fear of God, verse 21. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Galatians 5:13 teaches us, you were called to freedom, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See there, the spirit man and the carnal man are pitted. Do not go the way of carnality, but through love serve one another. Love one another with affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12:10. Therefore encourage one another and build one another up as you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And lastly, Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, all of these admonitions are only possible within the context of a local church, a body of people walking in fellowship. We are together in this, beloved, and we are to bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. We are submit to and serve one another, to be thankful with thanksgiving, to be worshipful, and to encourage one another, even more so as we see the day approaching. Our dear Lord and our gracious God, we thank you tonight that you have given us the blueprint, as it were, for success in the church, for holy fellowship. Teach us and help us to be holy, to be sanctified, to be vessels of the Holy Spirit met for the Master's use. Thank you, Lord, that there is such a beautiful time that we share in, when we come prepared and sanctified to worship you with God's people. Teach us to long for fellowship, to be expectant of your working in our midst. And so bless, O Lord, I pray, our fellowship as body of believers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.